Tuesday, August 20th. German planes swarmed over England today to stage fresh attacks. RAF planes throughout Monday launched offensives against German bases on the French Channel coastline. Italian troops have entered the Somaliland capital, Berbera, but the British minimize the occupation as of no strategic importance. In London, Prime Minister Churchill goes before the House of Commons to review war moves. CBS correspondents now report from abroad, Berlin and London. William L. Shara now reports from the German capital. Go ahead, Berlin.
This is Berlin. We had an air raid alarm last night, but nothing untoward happened so far as I know. Actually, it took place during my broadcast last night. Afterward, I went out to watch the excitement, but there wasn't any. A few anti-aircraft guns roared in the distance, some searchlights went into action, but that was about all. Later, it was explained that two British bombers came over and cruised over a suburb without dropping any bombs. Later, say the Germans, one of the planes was picked up by the searchlights at Brunswick and shot down in flames. Air raid alarms have been so infrequent in Berlin that they still cause some excitement. But my experience in this war is that the more you have, the less excited you are about them. Last week in Belgium and France, I went through several hours of them every night. Usually, no one bothers to sound the sirens. The signal is given by the thunder of the anti-aircraft guns. Nobody pays much attention to the whole affair, except that it's safe to keep out of the streets because the falling shrapnel can be unpleasant. The chief complaint of people about them is that they keep you from getting your sleep. So far today, it's just 2 p.m. here in Berlin. We have no word about air activities over Britain. Yesterday was also a quiet day in the air war, the Germans reporting that they limited their activities to reconnaissance flights and that there were few air battles. The Germans say they shot down 5 British planes yesterday and lost 10 themselves. The period of clear weather over the Channel and Britain is drawing to a close. But the weather experts tell me that you can count on probably at least 2 or 3 more weeks of good weather before the fall mists and fog set in. Whether the Germans think that is enough for their Air Force to settle accounts with the British, I don't know. One Messerschmitt pilot told me after the raid on London last Thursday that he thought they could finish the British Air Force in about 2 weeks of good weather. But he was only speaking in his private capacity. The German press continues to cite American newspapers to prove the great damage which the German air raids on Britain are making. The New York Times is quoted in the Swell 4 block today as saying that the suburbs of London and the airfield at Croydon were hit badly by the German bombs. As you might expect, the German press this morning is full of irony over what the papers call the victorious British withdrawal from Somaliland. They call it the fourth victorious withdrawal of the British in this war, the others being at Andelsnes, Namsos, and Dunkirk. Upon receipt of the news of the British withdrawal from Somaliland, Herr Hitler immediately sent a telegram of congratulations to Mussolini. The German papers this morning laud the exploits of the Italians in driving the British out of the African colony. Whatever the facts may be about what happened there or why, the Italian victory has served to raise still higher the prestige of the Axis powers in Europe and the confidence of the people here in a quick and final victory. Incidentally, I stopped off at Dunkirk a few days ago when I was up at the Channel, and it's remarkable how much of the debris has been cleared up. The town was terribly smashed, but most of the streets have now been cleared. I was surprised to see how many French people are still living there. These civilians in the destroyed cities are certainly a courageous lot. I talked to a French waitress in Calais, and she was not downhearted by any means. She said she felt thankful to have escaped with her life and thankful that she had a job again. I noticed, too, in northern France and Belgium that the harvests are being taken in. This will help the food situation there. This is William L. Sharon Berlin returning out of Columbia, New York.
This is New York, and we switch you now to the British capital for the report of the latest news by Larry Lesser. Go ahead, London.
This is London. The air battle over Britain, which slackened off yesterday, has not restarted either last night or early this morning, although a few German raiders were reported over this country a little while ago. Single German planes in small formations flew over various parts of England last night, dropped a few bombs, and caused a few deaths. But the only new feature during this lull in the air war was the dropping of parachute flares over many parts of this country. These are powerful magnesium flares which drop slowly to the ground and illuminate a large area. They are generally used to illuminate targets preparatory to night bombing. None were dropped over London. In fact, apparently the only plane over London during the night was a Royal Air Force fighter, which hit a barrage balloon cable and crashed on a bakery store. The pilot parachuted out safely and came down on a roof near the bakery, where he watched his blazing machine set to building a fire. He had been on patrol for the enemy bombers, which never came. But the dropping of, by the Germans, of parachute flares sounds an ominous note for British civilians. It may be a prelude to large-scale night bombardments. The great toll taken of German bombing machines on their daylight raids over this country may have convinced the German Air Command that too great a sacrifice is entailed in daylight raids. 5 German planes were destroyed yesterday out of the small number sent over. Like Britain, the Germans may be forced to send their heavy bombers to bomb at night. It is reported here that the citizens of Berlin spent 100 sleepless minutes after midnight last night when British bombers paid a visit to the German capital. The Royal Air Force was also busy over German-occupied France during the night. Vivid flashes lit up the clouds between Calais and Boulogne. Apparently a heavy raid was in progress. A glare of white light could be seen over Boulogne for almost half an hour. We have heard more reports of shelling on the southeast coast by German long-range guns. Apparently the shell holes I saw there a week or so ago were the efforts of the Germans to get their guns into battery by firing a few test rounds. But it is learned from reliable sources here that there is no immediate evidence indicating that a German invasion is imminent. There are no signs of any further concentrations of German troops on the French coast. For the first time, British people are told how many men were casualties in the aircraft carrier Glorious, lost off Norway in June. Today we learn that 1,204 men went down when the big aircraft carrier was sunk. But as yet, we do not know what enemy action was responsible for its loss. Princess Margaret, younger daughter of the King and Queen, will be 10 tomorrow. She'll spend the day in the country with her sister, Princess Elizabeth, and, if possible, the King and Queen. By the King's wish, though, only token gifts will be given to his daughter, and she'll not have her usual iced birthday cake. You see, owing to food restrictions this year, the birthday cake will be plain sponge with a little chocolate on top. Complaints by American correspondents against the censorship restrictions on air raids over this country has led to a relaxation of the censorship blue pencil on air reports. Yesterday, the Director General of the Ministry of Information is understood to have told his censors that delays in releasing news from London on air raids must not occur again. Mr. Duff Cooper, Minister of Information, will be further questioned on the subject in Commons today. The Prime Minister will appear in Commons also to review the war situation in a speech likely to take an hour. He may talk about Britain's attitude toward the sending of American food ships to Europe. The Admiralty reports this morning that 9 British ships were sunk during the week ending August the 12th. The total tonnage loss was 32,257. This compares favorably with a loss of some 60,000 tons the previous week, when 13 British ships were lost. 2 neutral ships were also sunk during the last week. They displaced 6,700 tons. It's hard to describe in words what the sound of an air raid siren is like, but the other day during a raid over London, I saw a black cat, which seemed to have found the right definition. When the sirens began to wail, this cat left off its search of a London garbage pail, arched its back and fluffed out its tail, then bolted into a cellar. To the cat, it must have seemed as though 10,000 great tomcats were challenging its right to existence. Return you now to CBS in New York.
That was Larry Lesser speaking from London, and such is the news this morning from Europe. We now listen to the news of latest developments reported from our nation's capital by Albert Warner. We take you now to Washington.
A survey of opinion in the Senate gives these broad indications today. That the President has the support of a large majority in establishing with Canada a board to plan mutual defense of the North American continent. The President, you know, is urging speed on those plans and creation of the board by Thursday. But on the matter of transferring 50 American destroyers to Britain, a very strong opposition is still mustered, despite talk of British concessions of naval bases to the United States in offshore islands, despite defense conversations with Canada, despite the plea of Ambassador Bullitt added to those of General Pershing and Admiral Stanley, the opposition to the destroyer transfer seems enough to make congressional action highly doubtful. All the developments just mentioned are taken in Washington to indicate that a proposal as to the destroyers is coming soon from the White House or the administration. Some wise legislators think the conscription bill is holding it back. The injection of the destroyer issue might complicate the legislative situation for the draft bill. Representative Sal Bloom, chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, comes out for the transfer of the destroyers, telling me that his mail, running up into several thousand letters and telegrams, is 90-1 in favor of giving this aid to Britain. If the Attorney General says there is no domestic law in the way, and if the Navy Department says the ships can be spared, I'd like to see it done, said Bloom. If we are going to do it, we ought to do it now. The more we fool around, the worse the situation gets, the congressman added. But presumably, the President and certainly the Naval Chief of Operations, Admiral Stark, would want to have affirmative sanction by Congress before transferring the destroyers or trading them for the British island bases. The Admiral, according to his friends, doesn't want to take responsibility for signing a certificate that the destroyers are not essential to American defense. Isolationists like Senator Danaher of Connecticut and Worth Clark of Idaho tell me they are willing to see defense planning with Canada, even though Canada is a belligerent, provided the military plans are limited to Western Hemisphere defense and do not relate to the conduct of the present war in Europe. But on the transfer of destroyers, both Danaher and Clark are strongly opposed. So are all the isolationists. So are many middle-of-the-roaders. Senator Hatch of New Mexico, for example. I don't think a bill to transfer the destroyers could be passed, Senator Hatch said. It is too much like a declaration of war. One thing could make trouble in Congress for the Canadian talks. It would be the use of them to cover an indirect transfer of the destroyers. When there was a report from Canada last night suggesting the possibility of such a link, suspicious congressmen were all ears, and trouble was brewing. The principal oppositionist amendment to the conscription bill may be reached in the Senate today. Democratic Senator Maloney of Connecticut is calling up his proposal. It would postpone the draft until January 1st at the earliest, pending a trial of a voluntary enlistment program to see if it would yield 400,000 additional men for the Army. It's disclosed today in that connection that General Marshall, Chief of Staff, told a Senate Appropriations Subcommittee in private hearings that 1,200,000 men are the minimum force necessary to protect the United States. An army of 3-4 million may be needed, he said, for hemisphere defense. The American Army transport ship American Legion is plowing homeward from Finland past the northern tip of Scotland, still unharmed this morning, although it proceeds in the face of another warning from Germany. The German embassy here told us last night that those waters were mined by German airplanes as well as British warships. Berlin gave no safe conduct. In fact, it issued a warning to the American vessel, but Washington took the position that no other safe and practical course was available, probably because of British mines to the north. Authorities here are not likely to breathe easily until a few more hours have passed. We return you now to New York.
And with this news from the nation's capital, we conclude this morning's report of national and international developments. William L. Shirer reported from Berlin, Larry Lesser reported from London, and Albert Warner from Washington. Larry Elliott speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.